Commissioner seeing here, and so give me a thumbs up.
Yes.
Okay. Can all members of the public see here, and if so, give me a thumbs up. Okay. This meeting is being recorded. Once President Brooks asked me to call the roll, and Kate, you are here, as well as give permission to record, I'm verbally stating here permission to record. Great. Go to you, Lisa. Great.
Okay. I'm back.
Oh, hi, Dudley. Excellent.
Okay. I don't know. Thank you for sending this link again. I don't know what happened. It just didn't work.
Okay, but you're here now, and that's all that matters. So I call the April 20th, 2021 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and open time.
Sure. It is 7:04. Commissioner Boren?
Yes, permission to report.
Commissioner Kobe?
Here, permission to report.
Commissioner Ludden?
Here, permission to report.
Commissioner Underdog?
Here, permission to record.
President Brooks?
Here, permission to record. Moving to consent agenda items, A through E are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? That appears no. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving on to matters from the public, it is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And if that is no, we will move on to the first matter here, the public hearing 2021-2022 budget and appropriation ordinance number 921. The budget and appropriations ordinance, or BAO, has been reviewed by legal counsel and has been on public display for the required 30-day period. I declare this public hearing open to discuss the BAO. Carol, would you please give a brief summary?
Certainly. This is the official ordinance that is filed, must be filed with the Cook County Clerk's Office, and it allows us to actually spend the money that we receive as tax dollars in the levy process. So we've had our committee meeting in February. The final budget was approved at the last March regular board meeting, and now this is the official ordinance that's filed with the county. If there's any questions, please feel free to ask them.
Members of the public were able to email or phone in comments on the BAO. Lisa Shepherd, please read any public comments received on the BAO.
There was nothing received or sent.
Okay. If there are any members of the public who would like to comment on the BAO, please do so now. All right, I declare this public hearing closed. Okay, moving on. Approval of ordinance number 921, an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1, 2021. BAO establishes the board's legal spending limits for various funds and line items within the annual budget. It does not reflect the board's intention to spend. Only its capacity. The annual budget remains the financial tool which guides the district to which the board holds the staff accountable. Recommended motion. I entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 921, an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2021, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Okay. I'm sorry, Michael?
Yeah, I've got one quick question for Carol. When I was reading through this, we talk about the sources of revenue and have a little column there. Why don't we have any source of revenue of allocation of what we're going to spend from the bond funding in there? Is that just because that was sort of last year's revenue, or
actually, that part of the expenditure is in the earlier part.
Okay.
It's a format that's required by law to be followed, and the sources are basically the forms of revenue coming in.
And, okay.
We did bond issue last fiscal year.
Right.
So it's purely the expenditure of the principal and interest this fiscal year.
Yeah, I saw the interest income was there. I didn't know if we were had to allocate part of that. And Bart, this goes back to like the way that my brain works for accounting, where it's, you know, you got the cash on here, but we're not really moving it over to revenue. We're moving over to revenue in sort of three, what I would think of as 3 years, because we're going to spend it in 3 years, but it's all from last year. It's fine to get.
Yeah, it's considered at this point part of the cash carryover into the new year versus revenue source in this current year.
Gotta love government accounting.
Good question.
Anything else? Okay. If there's something else, a roll call vote, please, Lisa.
Commissioner Boren?
Yeah.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. On to the financial report. 1 month of the fiscal year is complete. Carol will provide a synopsis of the reports.
Yes, as there's only 1 month at this point in time, it's kind of hard to make any analysis, but it is presented in the traditional format that we've seen over the last 3 years. Daycare is right on target for how we started before COVID shut down last year, as of the end of March. And you'll notice, because we started the beach pass sales so early, you're obviously going to see a huge surplus at this point in time, which is a little strange to see, between the boat rental spaces that are coming in already and the pass sales, which started, I believe it was March 16th. We right now, the surplus at the end of March was over $300,000. So sales have been, and I'm sure Bobby will report later, have just been off the charts. I think we're at this point over what we sold for the whole season last year, correct, Bobby? So it's kind of nice to see that in March. As you know, with the expenditures coming then in the months through the season, that will continue to whittle down. But it's a great start to the fiscal year. Other than that, I really don't have anything further than what's already listed in the report. I do want to mention, however, I did an analysis just to see how real estate receipts coming in now for the 2020 tax year, which is this current fiscal year, 21-22. We are off a little bit in March and early April, about 400,000 off of what we collected last year at this time. And again, it was prior to COVID when we really got a lot of the money early on in March. March 1 is the due date, so I'm thinking there might be just some slacking because of the COVID still now extension into the new year, and I'm hoping that we're going to pick it up in the next month or two, that people are just paying a little bit later than they did last year, pre-COVID. I'll continue to monitor that, though.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, does anyone have anything for Carol? Then we'll move on to registration software upgrade update. Erin will introduce Bobby Nance, who will give a presentation.
Yeah, so last fall we hired Bobby Nance to look at our registration software. We did this for a couple of reasons. We were informed that RecTrack 10.4. Anyway, our version of RecTrack was going to be no longer serviced. 10.3. So there's a new version, 3.1. Super confusing that the numbers are in that way. Clearly to me too. And we also wanted to see what other options were out there. So we had five ants. Explore it. I'm going to let her talk about the process. I will say, when the process started, I thought for sure we were going to go a whole different direction. So I'm really glad we did this exercise and learned a lot more about what was out there. Bobby?
Sure. Can I have permission to share my screen real quick?
Yes.
Can you make that happen? Yep.
Hey, Jeff.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for your time tonight. I appreciate it. I promise to keep the overview brief. As I know, we shared most of the details in more detail in the report that was included. Just a quick introduction. As Erin said, I'm Bobby Nance. I'm the president of Recreation Results. So my entire career has either been working in Parks and Rec or serving as a consultant and trainer within the industry. And I had the pleasure of working with staff as a consultant and project manager on this project, and also the benefit of being the consultant that worked with staff in putting together the previous website assessment. So I came into this project already with a good understanding of the recreation services that the organization provides, as well as an understanding and having sat through customer demos, actually, and test cases in use of the website and trying to process transactions and those kinds of things. So came with a good perspective already into this project. I'm here tonight just to give you a really brief overview of the process, as well as staff's recommendations, and give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. So as Erin indicated, one of the big drivers for this project was really the timing surrounding the end of support for the current version of RecTrack that the organization is using, but also as part of the recommendations in the website assessment and the desire to create a new website for the organization, and also just understanding how consumer needs really changed when it came to the way everyone had to adapt with COVID. It made it very clear that a new software provider would provide a lot more functionality and would work a lot better, not just for staff, but also for customers. In the beginning, several needs and goals for the project were identified, but I think the biggest way or best way to sum it up is both a desire for it to have a cleaner and better and more intuitive and streamlined look and feel, but also to provide increased functionality, especially as it related to being a bit more flexible and mobile friendly. And, you know, we also made sure to take a long-term look at the software to make sure that it was one that staff would be able to maintain after the initial implementation and also continue training and learning with it as well. Here's a quick overview just of the process as we kind of started at the top in conducting needs analysis with staff and then whittled ourselves all the way down to that final decision. So in the beginning, we did a review of the recreation services that the district provides and also collected a lot of input from staff regarding their recreation software needs. Both in terms of what was a critical need and then also sort of those items that elevated to a sort of wish list so that we can understand that. But taking that needs analysis, we turned those in through more conversation into an actual prioritized list of software requirements that allowed us to create a tool that we would use to evaluate the software providers as we went through this process. Using that information, I did a scan, essentially, of software providers in the industry and also conducted some reference checks with users of the software, of different software packages, in order to come up with an initial list of software providers that seemed like they had the potential to meet the requirements that were needed by the district, and then reached out to those vendors and conducted initial interviews with them to really verify and make sure that anyone that the organization was talking to definitely met those minimum critical requirements. After those interviews were done and I had the ability to present back to the staff how well different vendors met their requirements and everything from those critical requirements all the way to some of those wish list items, we whittled the list down a little bit further and selected a final two software vendors that staff wanted to participate in more thorough demonstrations with. And so they had the opportunity to do that as well as review some follow-up sample documentation reports and other types of materials, as well as get any information requests that we wanted to follow up with afterwards. And with all of that, came to a conclusion that they wanted to recommend continuing to work with Vermont Systems, who is the software provider that provides RecTrack software, and go with the upgraded version. I would like to point out that even though it is a software upgrade technically, on the back end and quite a bit on the front end, it looks like a new software. Definitely when it comes to both the training, the implementation, we're essentially treating it a bit like a new software. And so that's why I think one of the reasons, even though we stuck with the same, or recommending to stick with the same vendor, was really good to have gone through this process. The version that we'll are recommending that you upgrade to is the it's called RecTrack 3.1 Next Gen, so we're making it even a little bit more confusing with that naming, but we're recommending that upgrade, but also adding a few new modules to that software to increase functionality. Just the upgrade itself is going to give the district and anyone using the software, including customers, a more improved mobile-friendly customer experience. It'll also just allow general, more streamlined and easier to use administrative reporting functionality. It'll allow the district to actually integrate with some third-party services that they want to continue using. It'll make that process a little bit more seamless. And it also offers a really nice learning management system that will be helpful both for the initial implementation, but also as time goes on with staff training and onboarding of new staff. With the addition of a few new modules to the software, they'll also have additional functionality, essentially point of sale or like cash registers and inventorying that goes with any place that house those. That will have an improvement. They'll be able to sell tickets for special events, but also more traditional tickets in a venue with assigned seating. And it will also add the ability to truly offer equipment rentals and allow people not only to sell those on site, but actually reserve them in advance. Just a quick overview of the pricing that was included in the report. So there's a mix of with this implementation and also the purchase of additional modules. There are some one-time expenses and then also some ongoing additional expenses. So the migration and training for both the updated software and adding the new modules will cost $10,900. And then ongoing, those new software modules will require an additional $3,960 a year on top of the maintenance cost that the district is already paying for RecTrack software. So the difference in the long term is this additional $3,960 a year. These are the direct expenses for the software implementation, but there are other items that the staff are still investigating and trying to determine if there are additional needs. Some of those are related to trying to take advantage of all the new mobile functionality and realizing that that might require mobile devices or other technology or hardware needs just to ensure that staff can fully take advantage of the software itself, and then any other costs related to implementation support or related to using those mobile devices, like potentially connectivity upgrades or, you know, even just down to protective cases for tablets, those kinds of things will be additional costs if at a later time it's determined that those are needed. And then just as a final point, the timeline for implementing this project, we're currently shooting for going live with the new software in January, but kicking off the project to make sure that everyone is adequately prepared towards this, actually starting in May with getting the project planning kicked off, and then spending the summer actually just getting a thorough understanding of processes and how business processes will change, doing reviews of technology to make sure that everything is prepared for the project and ready to go. And then in the fall and early winter, we'll transition to actually testing out and training on using the software. The staff will have the ability to actually work off of a test database that they can build customizations, like customized screens, and actually get things set up so that when it's ready for things to go live in January, that will just get transferred over and they'll be able to run with all the customizations that have been built, and we'll have to kind of start from scratch with those things in January when it's installed. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions that you might have about the software or our process in selecting it.
A specific example of what the new software does, like for example, what it would do at the beach for walks, how would you use it there, just to understand what those new capabilities are.
Sure. It will partially be determined by what staff want to do in terms of processes, but it would allow for some of the new potential capability is equipment rentals, for example. Someone could actually, if the staff decided to allow that, would allow people to reserve them in advance. We talked about how little things like parents or family members could actually put money on a membership card, and someone could take it and use those funds at the concession stand to make purchases instead of paying with cash or having a credit card. The mobile functionality, if the connectivity is there, could actually mean that staff could use a mobile device to check people in and out, so kind of a way to speed up lines if that's needed. Those are just some of the examples. I think it's a lot of tweaking and making things a little bit more seamless and quicker too.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for you, and I can't see everybody's face, so I'm sorry, I'll just jump in.
That's okay, I can stop sharing.
Oh, that's okay. Explain the integration of the website, who works on the new website, how that is developed concurrently with the whole software.
Do you want me to take that one, Bobby? Go ahead.
Yeah, so during that website usability study, we really did realize that people think the website and the registration software are one and the same, which is what they should do. So we are planning to do a tag team of the website and the registration software so that both get unveiled at the same time, so it looks pretty seamless to our customers.
And are you going to be doing that, Erin?
That's why part of our recommendation is to actually hire Bobby as a project manager for this registration software project.
Got it.
Because we do not have a full-time IT person.
And no.
We are busy, so that is part of our recommendation.
I just couldn't figure out how the website was going to.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other project.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Stay tuned.
Good. Okay.
And part of that project, Bobby did mention some of that testing. We will be doing some user testing as well. I'm hoping some of my board members will volunteer.
Very good idea.
To do some of that.
Beta testing. Yes, we all do that. Sure.
Bobby, I have a whole slew of questions for you. First of all, if one of you, Bobby Collins or Bobby Nance, can change the name to make it easier for me, I appreciate that. But Bobby Nance, give me, I know, you don't necessarily work for this company, but give me the top three things a user is going to benefit from this software. Like what three things am I, as a super user, and Erin, I'll be happy to test anything, how am I going to benefit from this?
I think the number one thing by far is just how much more mobile friendly it's going to be, and without requiring the use of an app. So we made sure to test that every single functionality that a customer may want to complete could be completed on a mobile device. And so that was actually part of our testing process, which the software will be able to handle. I think also the look and feel will just be a little bit cleaner, and there's a lot more customization that on the back end is going to make it easier for Aaron and the staff to present a better experience on the front end as well. So I hate to say that it won't look as clunky, but that will be a benefit of it too. Yeah. And then it does have quite a bit. Once again, some of this is what staff wants to turn on and turn off in the software. But there is quite a bit of functionality that allows users to kind of manage their accounts in terms of updating their information or exporting a calendar or getting some, checking some notifications and some of the reporting that, for example, if you submit your gym use to your insurance to get reimbursed. Some people do that. Things like that, users will be able to manage themselves.
So a little technical here. The website is effectively a responsive website. So it's a responsive website, so you can use it on tablet.com, whatever. That's awesome. The calendar functionality you're talking about, people will have to download that to their calendars. Like, I can maybe even at some point set up a reminder, like, hey, go pick up your kid at 4:45 from chess, if you ever forget.
Yes, I don't remember off that to that level of specificity, but I do know that I made a point to make sure that, because we talked about how important that of a functionality, like, even for me, I'm like, that, if I don't have it on my calendar, then it doesn't exist. So yeah, so we did make sure that calendar functionality did exist. And also I know that in my notes, which I went over just to make sure that I was familiar, I also had in my notes that it had the possibility to set up like a reminder of here's what's going to come up this month for you is one of the examples that was given.
Yeah, because I think what you guys are doing with, you know, we hire Lisa Shepard and all of the great staff at the Park District, and they're beyond belief awesome. I'm sure their lens is going to be on it in front of you, and I want to make sure, at least from the board, that we're thinking about the user experience. So that's why I kind of asked this top three things. Because I do think the user experience right now, clunky would be a nice way to describe it. I'm really excited to upgrade this.
Michael, we really didn't even think that this was possible with FrackTrack, so we were very pleasantly surprised how nice it looked for the customer.
Well, I'm excited that, you know, I think upgrading software is also, even if it's a little bit more expensive to stick with the current vendor, the consistency usually pays off in spades on the back end. So I like this and appreciate all the effort. And Bobby, thank you. Bobby and thank you for the presentation, I think.
Dudley?
How secure is the software? There have been some things recently in local government where people have been held ransom or there have been mischarges or whatever. I'm kind of having a running battle with my credit card company right now over an issue. Could you talk to us about those requirements?
Sure. Do you want to, Carol?
Well, I was just going to say and remind Dudley that we hire Excalibur Technology, who oversees all the security and all of our network. And this system, because our server was just purchased within 18 months ago, I believe, that it did not make sense in a cost analysis of actually having RecTrack host that, at least for these first 3 years. And while we are continuing our contract with Excalibur, that would be something to take a look at after the next 3 years are up. But that's all taken care of by Excalibur, so no need to worry on that.
So Excalibur will test the system along with us?
They are responsible for the security and working with BSI in the migration from one system, the 10.3 to 3.1. And Excalibur is responsible for our whole network, not just BSI, it's our whole network.
And Dudley, I think I read somewhere, and maybe Carol or Aaron can be honest, I was actually a little bit surprised to read that we're not 100% PCI compliant with the current software. We will be, I'm actually shocked that you're not 100% PCI compliant, but you will be with this new software, if I read that correctly.
Yeah, it basically has to do, Michael, with our current processor and the plug and pay that was utilized in the 10.3 system, and confirmed by VSI that they have not been pursuing the PCI compliancy as they should have been, and so by changing credit card processors, we will in fact be fully compliant. But there have been some issues that I've even noticed more on the reconciliation side of certain transactions in the last couple of months. Nothing that's not resolvable, but I agree that needs to also be done.
Yeah, I was very glad to see that initiative being taken.
Good.
Thank you, Dudley. Any other questions for Bobby Nance?
One quick question, and this might not be software related. I know I call every registration day with the same issue from someone where we have that age thing where some people can't register. Is that a software issue or is that just something that's programmed in?
It has to do with, I think the original setup was using age versus grade because the age can be different in the grade. And so a decision was made early on to utilize age and not grade, and it has been very confusing both for the public and for staff. I'm not sure if you can speak to that, Bobby, on the resolve of that. Can you use both depending on the program?
I know that you can use one or the other. I'm not sure if I do know that the upgraded software allows for a lot of rule setting that is not possible under the current version that you're using. So I can't answer right now with absolute certainty that it allows kind of an either or situation, but that's definitely, we actually have a call scheduled, definitely the next time we talk with them, that could be, I can ask the question for sure.
I do recall, Stephanie, that it was on the top of all of our staff that to try and see what we can do to alleviate that problem, because the program managers get involved with that, with public calling, the front desk, and it's really a confusing thing that we will obviously work hard to try to resolve that so there's not as much of an issue at all.
And that's part of also the planning process. That first phase is going to be how to really get our data ready for the next system. Do we want it to be ages or grades? So we have to decide that again.
Evaluate.
Mm-hmm. Well, very quick thing. First of all, I do like the board members would be recruited to test it, but I think this is a community where you could probably get some super users like Michael, like Stephanie, super users who would happily volunteer to do some beta testing, and that's going to be very helpful for you. And I believe this could be something you could recruit for, Aaron, and get a good, the more the better in this, and get a good group in there.
Actually, anytime anyone's complained in the last couple months about our system, I say, can you be a volunteer when we start our new system next year?
And I bet they all say, yeah.
They do.
Wonderful. I would just like a very quick, going through the numbers was a tiny bit confusing about what, I know there's a one-time training migration charge and so forth, it's $14,000, $15,000. Just a comparison, the ongoing annual expense year to year, and although there may be too many variables because modules have not been chosen, I know they'll honor the old modules, but I'm sure there's going to be variables, but I'm just interested in getting a general sense of what the cost per year, how that's going to change going
so
forward.
I can probably start that, Bobby. We have been paying close to $7,000 a year in annual maintenance for all the current modules that we have with our RecTrack 10.3 system. If I understand correctly, we could add up to about $3,900 in additional annual fees based on the modules that we actually end up buying from DSI, based on our conversation of how will the mobility work, i.e. down at the Bluff where, you know, the connection is not real great. So we still have to finalize what those modules are, but we will still be paying then on an annual basis $7,000 plus up to, say, $4,000 for the annual maintenance, which covers anything that we need them helping us with on an unlimited basis. Would you say that's a correct assessment, Bobby Nance?
Yes, that's correct.
And that compares, just if you might recall, when we started this process last fall, 2020, I kind of gave a cost comparison of a couple of the other systems that were out there, and this was the most cost-effective system at the time that it became very apparent. It was like a $70,000 difference that, from my perspective of looking at the money, I like that, but we had to go through this process to really determine that it really was the best system to go to. So I'm really thankful to Bobby and driving this process with Aaron to really come to the conclusion where we are picking the most cost-efficient system for us. And that includes not only the first-time cost, but on an annual basis.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other comments or questions from the board? Thank you, Ms. Nance. That was a really nice presentation. Thank you, Carol, as well, and Aaron.
Yeah, I would like to thank Carol, Aaron and Carol, who
yep.
and Bobby coordinated the whole project. It's not easy undertaking and a lot of communication and input from the staff, so kudos to them for leading this process. And it's just beginning. It's going to be a long, long, fun process as we go through this. So patience for the whole team as we go through this process.
Yeah, it is interesting the way you laid it out and the way you're building it, like a pyramid, but thank you. Thank you very much. And then Ms. Nance is free to go. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm sure she wants to stay.
Yeah,
I'll let you get back to just having one Bobby on the screen. Thanks, Bobby. Thank you.
This will be Bobby with a Y coming now. Lots ice rink end of the season report. Bobby with a Y, and Adam will give a presentation on the report.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to kick it straight over to Adam, who's our Take It From Watts manager, and just thank him and his team for a phenomenal job with Watts in a very difficult but rewarding season. So
thanks,
Adam, take it away.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm using headphones. So thanks, Bobby. As Bobby alluded to, it was a super successful season for a lot of reasons, a lot of people's input and help. So. We're going to have a quick brief overview of the season and statistics and so forth. So just a quick rehash of season information. We opened the day after Thanksgiving, so November 27th, and ran historically through the last day of February. Weather permitted us to stay open an extra week, which I think was definitely welcomed by the community. We did a season pass holder only model with options of buying skating or hockey pass, in addition to purchasing guest passes. Reservations were required, like to take a week. Software. Capacity limits and state guidelines really limited our options and made it tough, not only for planning things, but also the staff in trying to enforce those guidelines, especially in terms of masks and hockey-related activities. Staffing and training, as always, is a big part of the success we have. Ann Schuers on this call is really the face of the rink this year. She was integral to our success. And Shannon Stevens also stepping in, obviously, when I was on leave for Burke and Dylan. Thank you to both of them for all their hard work, managers, and so forth. So a lot of preseason trainings, collaboration across all departments, work closely with the parks and maintenance team to build the ice and maintain the Zamboni compressor rooms, work with the business team, especially this year with all the changes in operations to get things set up with passes, be nimble as we accommodated the waitlist and so forth. And as always, Aaron's work with marketing, continue those trainings into the season. Facility improvements, with us not having access to the indoor for the public, working with the parks team to install the new plaza, which was awesome. on the new side gate entrance with the cashier window, allowing us to still operate and rent skates without ultimately changing a whole lot to our operation. Obviously, additional outside benches, heat lamps, and rubber matting, and the use of the external bathroom all allowed us really to operate safely for the staff and our customers. Marketing promotions, this started literally way back in last summer, but as we got closer, working with Aaron on signage, making sure all the updated guidelines were in place. Our direct mailer, our 8.5x11 that went out to kind of really kick off what the operation was going to be for that season. Developing the frequently asked questions related to operation, how you access the facility for the season. Aaron created an awesome prepare to visit Watts video, which I thought was really cool to really kind of explain how you're going to visit the rink for the season. Particularly, I actually produced almost 70,000 page views with all the reservations and so forth. It was pretty cool. And then all the email communication with our theme nights, and obviously as the guidelines change throughout the season, it was definitely communicated via email and other modes. Season passes, with the season pass holder only models you'd expect, went up significantly this season. Big success, and we pivoted quickly with our alternative plans as we sold out so quickly that first day. So pivoted to really expand usage while also being able to accommodate as many pass holders and skaters throughout the season. Some of the pass demographic breakdown for that, so 81% of all of our pass holders were residents, with 19% being non-resident. The breakdown for the actual skating pass was closer to 90% residents, and 10% were non-residents. So our hockey pass, with the amount of hockey clubs in the area, tends to be a little bit more even distribution, residents and non-residents. Daily attendance trends, these have already been increasing year after year, but obviously they went through the roof this year. We attribute a lot of that to obviously additional time slots, making reservations, and just the overall increase in usage this season. With open hockey, it's actually trended down. A part of that was related to, as the season progressed with the indoor rinks starting to open back up, we saw our hockey use kind of decline quite a bit, with a lot of those weeknight open hockeys with practices and stuff going on. Average visit per day, so you can kind of see a comparison of last year to this year. Our weekend's still kind of our king, but it's a little more even across the board. Historically, our weekdays are pretty quiet. We don't get a ton of visits during the weekday. It obviously increased this year with after school, and then we actually oftentimes would fill up our kind of lunchtime public skate, which is kind of cool to see people out using the rink during the day. Yeah, ice program was through the roof this season as well, with being outdoors and one of the few things that you could do safely when we were in the Tier 3. We've really increased enrollment and revenue by about 200%. As you can see, things were actually trending down, and we kind of were able to revitalize the program, brought in some new instructors that we're really excited about, and they embraced really all the challenges that came along with that. Special events, our theme nights, and Shannon, our intern, Serena, all played a big role in the success of these special events and our theme nights. As you can see, we had almost 1,400 reservations made for these throughout the season, from our Grinch night to Disney skates with Elsa and Olaf. It was a really joy, and I think one of the things the community loved the best this winter. Continue to hopefully utilize the rink in the off season with roller skating nights, movie nights, that kind of stuff too. It's hopefully going to be in our future. Facility rentals. So these did slightly dip down from last year. A big part of that was related to not being able to have really our standard birthday parties, studio ice rentals that we've historically seen in the past. Despite increasing fees, we still saw a little bit of a dip there. Ice programming, so we have a lot to go on the facility. It just gives you a brief view of some of the different programs that are run out of out of Watts, most notably our Kids Club and our e-learning care programs, and some of our summer camp programming also runs out of there. Deck Hockey recently started their season, kicked it off beginning of April as well, so we tend to partner with them in the clinics to utilize the studio in the off-season. So financial care comparison, so this changed slightly on how we wanted to portray this from what was in the report. So if you're a little confused on how it looked, we wanted to clarify that a little bit for you. So you can see this is from the facility itself, so we're projecting a net loss of roughly $29,000 as compared to the last two seasons of being just over $100,000. And then if you add in actually our skating classes, we're actually looking at having a net surplus of just around $7,000, which we, I believe, apparently might be a test in the 20 years. I don't know if that's ever happened if you throw the skating classes in there. So
really, you're right, Adam. You're right. It's never happened.
So it was a really, really successful season, and everybody across the district really helped contribute to that.
It really goes back to there wasn't a lot of outside things to do, and Watts was one of the few facilities open in the area and for the community, and they rediscovered Watts, I think you'd say, right?
Absolutely. Anne would be able to test the amount of people that she saw come through there, and the rest of the staff, just they really made the place as successful as it was with creating that community feel. And hopefully that we're looking forward to continuing to build on that momentum we had this year. We did a participant feedback survey at about 170 people complete that survey. So there's what we've really found is a lot of similarities to past years. So our overall experience, a lot of that stayed relatively similar to expectations for the overall experience. The value of the Watts Pass stayed similar to years past. Amenities, how they value that, and the feedback also stayed similar. And then how the staff was evaluated, we saw a lot of similarities. And overall, things they appreciated all the amenities, the staff, and the value that they got for utilizing the facility. So that takes us into future planning. So the next step for us will be ultimately wanting to take it to this report, take it to the Watts Advisory Group, to get their feedback on the season, how we can improve operations, and ultimately what our goal is to find ways to continue to increase the value of the Watts Pass, whether that be continue with the member-only events on Friday nights with the team skates, maybe only pass holder only skating and hockey times, expanded open skating and hockey for our members, and then looking at just different pit pass and daily admission models that we can consider in the future.
Love it.
Any questions?
Before the questions, I just want to thank all the staff. It was really a team effort. At the beginning of the season, everybody came together from parks and registration to recreation, business services. Everybody came and brainstormed how we can make this happen in a very short time. And windows were added and lockers were built and heaters were ordered, and every team member was involved. But it couldn't have happened without the great leadership of Adam and then Shannon and then the face of Anne and Serena all jumping in. The creative special events really made it a community feel when people really needed the most. So, I know that, I think Matt's on here, Matt jumped in and was working on ice along with the parks and Chris and everybody. So kudos to the great team effort coming together during a very difficult time. So I applaud you all. So, okay, questions?
Did Matt get the feel just think it was a frozen
Any follow-up questions?
Not so much a question, but a comment. I'll ask it in the phrase of a question, like we're playing Jeopardy here. Do you guys know how many parents sat online on like Thursday to make sure they got the right time slot for Friday's activities? It would be really interesting, and it's too bad Bobby N isn't here. because one of the cool things would be to see demand for classes, like how fast they fill up. Because I can tell you, people sat and waited for the 6 o'clock on a Thursday to sign up for those fun activities on a Friday. You created such a sensation with it during a time when people needed something like that. I think the only negative was the amount of stuff that you guys gave my kids that I had to, you know, sort through. But they loved it, and you guys just did a phenomenal job. So, you know, a sample size of 1, very much appreciated.
Yeah, I have to thank you for the report. I thought the report was very interesting, looking at the data, how it changes from year to year and basically doesn't change from year to year, and also to see that people are really pleased with staff at a time when there was a lot of anxiety and sort of angst about rules like dividing the drink in half, and then that can just lead to some, you know, bad feelings, and it wasn't really reflected in this. So anyway, I did like the report, and I did like the way you laid out the data, so thanks.
It's a great season, so thank you, and I hope, like you said, that momentum continues with so much community engagement, so it's great.
When is the next Watts Advisory Board meeting? Do you have any ideas?
We're waiting to get hear back from the state, right, Lisa? So once we get a little bit more information, we want to present the park grants. We have let them know, but we want to have a little bit more concrete information on that and the timeline, and then also present this report so we fully loop them in on everything that's going on. It's going to be a busy future ahead for Watts.
Exactly. So probably within, I anticipate within the next 2 months we'll have a meeting. If not before then, we'll be meeting with our architect soon on Watts and going through what's needed for that park grant. So.
Okay, if there is nothing more, thank you so much for the presentation. And we will move to the executive director's report. Lisa Shepherd will review items now in her report.
All right, before I get started, I have to say hi to my buddy Murphy, who's watching us and is always upset because I can't say hi to him. So shout out to you, Murphy. I don't know if he just went away, but he was just there. Okay, so not a lot, but just congratulations to Commissioner newly elected Commissioner Brandon Hinkle and Bart Schneider, and then Stephanie Borden for another term. So congratulations to all of you. It was a record turnout, I heard. So we look forward to having everyone serve on the board and move the district forward in a very exciting year. So I just want to put out again, we have Park Cleanup Day, part of our Earth Day initiative. So please let me know if you want to volunteer. I think Stephanie, you said yes, right, and with your girls, and looking forward to seeing you out there. Hopefully, not going to snow. Matt Walker has been working very hard on this initiative with Sustainability Committee, and we look forward to a great event. So Aaron's been doing a lot of the PR for it, so thank you to that. Other than that, we mentioned the audit. We're doing a salary review with Corn Ferry. It's been since early 2018 we did that, so we want to make sure that we're continually making sure that we're competitive with our salaries. At Veterans Park, the entrance is being worked on now, along with Hawk Park. They're making great progress on that, which I'm sure you've seen if you've been in that area. The biggest update is our beach sales. I don't know if I can put Bobby on to talk a little bit about that and tell where we're at this point. I mean, it's even gone up since we did this printing of the board packet.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're right in line with the number of 6,000 passes that we sold last year. Revenue is looking very promising. We've already hit budgeted revenue without even doing dailies. So even if we do one daily, we're that's going to be positive. So the financials look really, really strong there. And we saw quite a lot of seniors who got their free pass by their grandkids' passes and guest passes. So guest passes is extremely strong. So it's all looking really, really good. And it's still a long time to go until opening day.
So that was a byproduct. I wanted to bring that up. By offering a free senior pass, we saw many grandparents then adding on grandchildren and other family members that they maybe would not have done in the past, or a lot of guest passes. So that was a an unforeseen surprise that we're happy to that they took that and they're enjoying some time with their families. So if you've seen my Friday updates, the early childhood, both Amanda and Jessica and the whole ELC team are continue to be very creative in their little special events and group activities. Last weekend they had something for Earth Day, which would be cardboard boxes and planting seeds and things like that. So they continue to be creative and offering different little community events for that population. So other than that, I don't have anything else to add that's on my report unless you have any questions.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Lisa?
Look at that.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
All righty then. We will move on to our action items. I entertain a motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Glencoe School District 35 and Glencoe Park District for the Shared Asphalt Pathway Resurface Project as presented.
So moved.
Any discussion?
I think it's great. We're working with our other units of government. Reduces our costs, and I think it's a great effort.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Chris is really good at, Chris and Bobby, and Aaron, in fact, too, are all very good at looking at different ways that we can work with our other government units. So we're looking at that for tennis courts and things like that, too.
Good example of that right here. Yep. Anything else?
Yeah, hopefully a really quick question. Chris, explain this to me. How come when I go to take it every day, and the parking lot is just so beautiful and smooth and nice, maybe we talked about this before and I forgot. Why are we resurfacing?
Michael, you're parking in the back parking lot, not the front, right?
That's right. We talked about this beforehand. Okay, thank you. The back one's beautiful.
Yes, it's only 2 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I remember talking about this. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I knew just where you were parking when you said that.
It didn't say rear parking lot. It didn't say front lot on it.
I was disappointed we couldn't get Vernon Avenue included in the bid.
Yes. You'll have to take that up with Dave Bowen.
No, we can get the parking lot. I didn't know which one. Yeah, I'm not going to.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Anything else?
When is that going to be done, Chris?
Pardon me?
When is it going to be done?
Well, Commissioner, you have to approve the contract first.
True. You're going to do it at a time where,
yes, it's likely that the Take It Center parking lot will be done the first week of June or during the shutdown in August. It all depends on what the program load is. So the first step is once the board approves it, we move to contract negotiation. So hopefully we'll be able to move through that very quickly and get us on ticket for the June work.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren? Commissioner Colby?
Approved.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Approved. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder to the... I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder for the conservation landscape maintenance...
Oh, nope. I'm sorry, Lisa. Go back to that one, because your first one was approval of the school district one, and now we need... They're both the same, but it's a contract.
Both the same, but really quite different. Okay. Entertain the motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder for the asphalt pathway resurfacing bid, Chicagoland Paving of Lake Zurich, Illinois, for base bid A, B, C, D, for a total award of $125,000 as presented.
So moved.
Ludden?
Okay.
Warren?
Any discussion? Yeah.
I'll second.
Yeah. Any discussion?
Yeah, I just want to say from the sustainability standpoint, thank you for not using the oil-based sealant.
You're welcome.
I saw that too. Thank you. Is that standard now for government projects?
Not 100%. The product now, they're equivalent. So when those products first came on the market, there was a perception that the coal tar sealant was the superior product, and that's not the case anymore. So it's really just about education and advocacy to get folks to really change over where it's appropriate.
What is the alternative, Chris?
It's a non-coal tar sealant based product versus a coal tar sealant. People in the trade will tell you that it's not really different from a labor standpoint for application, so you're really just specking it. You're just putting a different spec sheet in your bid for a product that's better for the environment. So it wasn't something that we incurred additional cost for.
And it's healthier.
Yes, that's correct. 15 years ago, we would have paid for it, but it's changed. The industry's changed now.
Well, it's certainly safer for the people who are applying it, which is also something.
Well, and for the people who are drinking the water in the area, from the lake.
Yep.
Like us.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passed. Entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder for the conservation landscape maintenance bid, Pizzo and Associates of Leland, Illinois, for base A and B for an award of $18,410 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Oh, yes.
I want to say, is this the same group that the Friends of the Green Bay Trail use?
The Friends have used this group in the past, yes. We've also used them for our previous stewardship contracts for the Wildflower Sanctuary and the Burning. So we've had a great relationship with them. We're very, very excited to see that they got the logo.
Great.
Anything else?
Well, thanks to the open bidding process was done fairly, and it was a pleasure to watch that live, Chris.
Yes, that was an experience, right?
Good.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Approved.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Onderdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks.
Approved. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder for the tennis color coding crack fill bid, U.S. Tennis Court Construction of Rockport, Illinois, for sites 1 through 4 for the award of $49,100 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Does this include coloration and delineation of the lines?
It does for West. It involves only filling the cracks at the other site. So based on our previous discussions, we've typically stuck the color coding one entire court a year and doing crack fill everywhere else, and we rotate through the courts. So West will basically be pressure washed, the peeling paint will be scraped off, the cracks will be rotted out, the entire court will be resurfaced, new lines will be drawn, and we'll place new nets at that court as well.
For the new lines, will they also include pickleball?
They will.
In addition to that, that's something we're definitely going to bring up when we do capital projects again, is this more in-depth discussion about adding pickleball courts to our system. So that's a much deeper conversation for later date, but we're definitely up for lines here.
Did someone reply to that person's email about that?
Yes, we have received it. I'm going to give them that response that we're going to be looking into it at our capital project. So they will be responding to it.
Is I see there's 71 people signed up for pickleball.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's definitely it's something that we had on our radar before we got that email. In fact, I think last week I said, I'm like, Chris, we got to start talking about where we're going to put real pickleball courts, not just put an overlay line. And then we got that email. So it's definitely something that, look at our program, it's definitely a trend in the United States. I think it's here to stay, and for both adults and kids. So something we should definitely talk about, how we can incorporate that in.
And we will. Any further discussion on this? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Oh, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the Christopher B. Burke Engineering Contract Addendum not to exceed $45,144 for the construction management of the Connect Glencoe Trail project as presented. So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
I probably missed this, but what is this for? Because this is the one that's with the grant and the state, so.
Yeah, well, if in the memo it's kind of outlined, the reason they make an estimate at the beginning of every project of what they believe the hours will be, and then as the project progresses, there was more oversight needed, which is required with the grant. So this is, you remember, this is a trail grant that required engineering on site when work is being done. So if there's any delays or overtime or there's really delays, they have to charge back. So they need to detail a record of anything over with their original budget and build us back. There's also additional hours. Chris was gone.
Yeah, so I was also on an FMLA leave with my mom, so there was additional hours there for that as well. Fortunately, also on multiple quarantines. So we had a perfect storm in a couple of areas. Myself and the IDOT project coordinator were both on FMLA leave concurrently. So I will say Steve Bell did a phenomenal job advocating for the Park District, and they really went above and beyond. They've laid out in their memo, we will recover some of these costs and liquidated damages, not all of them, obviously, but to Lisa's point, you know, this is a tough project because we can't really finish the project without CBEL, and they're at a point where they have to ask for more money, so that's just a tough challenge as it is.
Understood. Anything else, Dudley?
Yeah, question, do you think they'll finish by May 1st?
Well, they get charged liquidated damage of $1,500 a day after May 1st. So I don't think they're going to be done by May 1st. I think they're going to try to pull a fast one and blame the weather and blame COVID and all the other things. I anticipate Veterans Park looking great for Memorial Day weekend. With the scope of the repairs to that retaining wall, I see a minimum of 2 more weeks out at that site, and then landscaping is going to go in. So definitely early to mid-May, but I just don't think they're going to make the May 1 deadline at this point. At a cost of $1,500 a day to them.
But close, right?
Yeah.
Close.
Well, and again, you know, the reality is the Veterans Park seawall is a change order. And it's a change order that's IDOT funded, so it's not something that we're paying for. So the scope of the project did grow, you know, to their defense significantly at that corner. But again, they're going to push it back as much as they can.
Understood. Anything else? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Approved.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks.
Approved. Motion passes. Any other business? Lisa Shepherd, is there other business?
There is no other business.
Okay. Is there
one question? I forgot that the reports were only in the packet and we weren't going through them all, so I forgot to ask it.
Yeah.
So for the storage at the beach, and I'm sure there's like a long history with this. I don't need to go into all that, but just a brief summary of how those spots, like how, who gets on that list. There's a lot of non-residents, but just wondering like how that list was created. It was on the waiting list do residents get priority?
Bobby?
Yep, it's a great question. So the last time, so when I was finishing my role at the beach and transitioning, we ran into the wait list, and we started the wait list with residents getting priority. So residents get priority over non-residents, and as storage holders have kind of lost their spots, they've been replaced with residents. So we've gone from a 50-50 breakdown, about 50% were residents, 50% were non-residents when I was at the beach, now to a significantly more residents. So it's going to be hard for non-residents to get spots with our current resident wait list.
So they get grandfathered in. If they have a spot, they're guaranteed it from year to year. But once they give up that spot, it's replaced with the resident.
Correct. There may be cases where, like, a non-resident has a sand spot for a sailboat, and they want to bring their paddleboard, and they'll store it underneath and get charged for that, and they won't get an additional rack. But that will be the only way they might be able to expand the amount of storage they have at the beach. It is worth noting that that wait list continues to grow, and we do not see it getting smaller anytime soon. And with the height of Lake Michigan, it's not good. The problem isn't going to go away. We're not going to be able to store anymore.
Bobby, is the wait list mostly for paddleboard space, or is it something
correct
else?
Correct. Significantly, it's significantly paddleboards. I believe one of our local park districts just down the road has over 600 paddleboards on the wait list. So, you know, the part of the challenge with paddleboards is they take up space on the waterfront, but also if there was an emergency, having 50 to 100 paddleboards on the water is just not something we cannot deal with operationally.
Well, this might be a crazy idea, so forgive me, but is there maybe some case for some, like, subscription or pool of paddle boards? Because I think we'd all agree it doesn't make sense for 600 people to have paddle boards they use less than 1% of the time.
Absolutely, yeah. We're working on something right now. We're looking at doing more of a half-day rental than an hourly rental. So give people, they can reserve it from a morning slot or an afternoon slot. We've looked at the kind of pinnacle yacht model where you can guarantee 15 days a year. That they get very complicated, and it's quite hard to do it fairly and equitably. You also have to have software. So right now we're focusing on more of the longer day rentals, and then giving the pass holders better value on the rental.
Josh, I think you'll see the residents that start to do that themselves a little bit, carrying paddleboards as well.
Yeah. And that's what we encourage people to do. You know,
that's
four families
totally
buy
smart.
Into a couple paddleboards. That's great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I do that with five other families, and we text each other, and it works out really well. Because I agree, it would be very cool to see if the park district could do something, but I think you may want to get there. It's hard to manage too for the park district, I would presume.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Michael. I think it would be hard to manage. So I just threw it out there, and I think it probably is a better solution to have multiple families banding together to use one paddleboard 10% of the time instead of 1%.
Yeah, last summer it was tough. Like, we had five families with two paddleboards, and they were overlapped a lot on the weekend. But I think it's a good idea.
All right. Any other comments or from the board?
I'll just put it on record that I really appreciated the board packet this time. I think it makes these meetings really efficient. I can read through it. I felt 1,000% more prepared than the most recent board meetings because it was manageable. So Lisa Shepherd and all your staff that's working hard to make the summaries and the key points there. I speak this for myself, and I really love it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, Josh, you're not going to get to read another board packet, are you?
But I enjoyed this one so much.
Well, it's good to go out that way. I like that.
I do have one question. Are we ready to, has everybody been vaccinated in the past 2 weeks and ready to go back to in-person meetings, starting either committee meeting or board meeting?
That's two questions. One is which I can answer yes, I'm vaccinated. The question, am I ready to come back in? No. Yeah.
Well, technically, you know, we should answer emergencies, so.
Yeah, I feel comfortable.
I just had my second one yesterday, so I could come to the board meeting next month, but it hasn't been 14 days yet.
Okay, so we'll wait for the board meeting, and we'll do the committee meeting virtual for our last one. Okay, sounds good.
And just a reminder, Stephanie, you're vaccinated. That's good. Yeah. There were vaccination sisters. We went together.
You don't have to tell me if you're vaccinated, but if you're okay to go back in person, that's great. So,
just to confirm, we will be masked, correct?
We will be masked and try to do social distancing, yes.
Okay.
Actually, technically, if we set up the table 6 feet apart, you don't have to keep your mask on once you get to the table, but you can, or take it off when you're speaking. And we'll try to set up the room so that we're 6 feet apart.
That would be good, because I remember when we tried to go back,
yeah,
and people were having a difficult time being,
yeah,
understood, and we're taking their mask off to speak. So this, you know, we'll come,
yeah,
up with...
We'll come up with the system to keep it separated, but then take off your mask when you're speaking. I agree, it's hard with the mask on, but
yeah,
we'll make it work. And we're also trying to find a way to stream our meetings without too much expense to do that. There wouldn't be any interaction with the public, but the public would be able to see the meeting but not interact. So, you know, Jenny and I are working on that. So,
good, thank you. Is there a reason to go into executive session?
There is not.
Okay, so if there is nothing more, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne.
Yes.
Commissioner Covey.
Yep.
Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog.
Yes.
President Brooks.
Yes, motion passes.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.